We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We all laughed when he said he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and get away with it. It's no joke. He's shooting holes in the Constitution, and we can't not let him get away with it.
Joe Biden saying that President Trump is shooting holes in the Constitution. That just happened, Katie. Where was this?
It looks like he is talking to the press from a podium, and he was originally supposed to be talking about the allegations about his son, and then it escalated into how the president can shoot people on Fifth Avenue and no one would care about it.
Well, we haven't heard from Joe Biden for a while, it feels like. There hasn't been a lot of attention there. And that's one of the reasons why we want to speak to our next guest. It's DeRoy Murdoch. He's a founding member of Project 21 Plus. He's a Fox News contributor. DeRoy, it's great to talk to you today.
Annie, great to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Now, I got to ask you this question, and I'm reading this piece that you had on Fox News, and you pose a very important question. Why is the media not infatuated with getting to the bottom of Hunter Biden's potentially nefarious acts with these foreign countries, the money that might have been exchanged? Why no interest in Hunter Biden?
Sure. Well, even before they do that, I asked the question in my piece on FoxNews.com, where's the hunt for Hunter Biden? You will notice, and your listeners, I think, also will remember, if you think about any of the people who have been in the middle of these huge sort of controversial tornadoes that rip through this country from time to time, think of Brett Kavanaugh, think of people far more notorious than Kavanaugh, who I think is a good guy, people like Anthony Weiner, people like Bernie Madoff. Anytime you've got people like this who are in the middle of these enormous media hailstorms, if you will, they can't walk out of their front doors to check the mail, walk their dogs, get into or out of their cars without having 15 cameras outside. Every time Kavanaugh got his SUV to go testify or go meet with President Trump, whatever, you'd see him on live TV leaving his front door, getting in the car and driving away. Bernie Madoff, every time he walked out of his apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan in the middle of all of his controversy and travails for ripping off his clients, it got to the point where he couldn't walk down the street because there were so many people surrounding him. I think he actually started swinging at journalists. Compare all that with Hunter Biden. I've not seen any footage of Hunter Biden since the pictures of him, photos of him with his father years ago. I believe he lives in California, maybe in Los Angeles. I don't see any cameras in his driveway. There are no cameras in front of his house. There doesn't seem to be any interest on the part of the news media to get contemporary footage or live shots or even a still photograph of this guy. I think that's incredible. We've been hearing about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and Ukraine getting so on for pretty much 2 weeks nonstop, and I see no effort on the part of the news media even to get a current video image or photograph of this guy. I think that's absolutely extraordinary, and I think unprecedented.
We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch, a Fox News contributor. A question about your analysis there, because it is spot on. My question to you is, and to many people, when they say, look at how they treat this certain group of people and look at how they treat this other certain group of people. I don't know that the way that they treated Kavanaugh is the right way to do it. And I don't think that's what you're advocating for. But I think what we can identify here is that the media engages in narrative writing and agenda-driven policies. Is this going to continue to get worse the closer we get to 2020?
Oh, I think so. I think it's, if you think it's ugly now, wait till a year from now. And no, I'm not saying that that necessarily we want to have people hounding Hunter Biden, but if they're going to hunt, hound people like Brett Kavanaugh and others, why is it not happening here? Why the complete double standard? And it's not even like, okay, he's got two cameras versus 20 for Kavanaugh. As far as I can tell, it's zero. And I've been, you know, I watch TV every day when I'm at Fox News Channel. I've got right outside the window of my office, you can see, I think it's about six or eight different TVs focusing on Fox, CNN, MSNBC, mm-hmm. Bloomberg, et cetera. I've not seen any image whatsoever in 2 weeks of Hunter Biden's house, driveway, car, mailbox, dogs if he has them, and nothing. It's as if the guy lived in Kajikistan or Ukraine, for that matter. And so, yeah, I think this is going to continue. The left-wing media are not in any way objective. They are an offshoot of the Democrat National Committee. They're committed to the destruction of Donald J. Trump, and they will be as nasty and biased and vicious and unprofessional as possible to pursue him and try to get a Democrat elected. And they're doing this in complete contravention of the basic principles of journalism that I learned in high school, even junior high school newspaper class. You know, things like check your facts before you publish them and talk to multiple people. These basic things I learned in ninth grade, I see being violated on a daily basis, not by teenagers, but by people who have degrees in journalism and people in newsrooms who ought to know much better than this.
DeRoy Ryan Wiggins, we keep hearing from the right in defending Trump that these are the kind of the conversations that he was having with Ukraine that presidents have had since the beginning of time. Is the same true of Hunter and Joe Biden's relationship with Ukraine? Is that the kind of stuff that's always kind of happened, or is this worse?
You know, I think you have a lot of politicians who, you know, try to help their relatives or people try to cash in. That's not a good thing. That needs to be resisted. This is not the first time this has happened, but that doesn't mean, oh, it's happened before, so let's have this happen again. I think it is definitely unusual for somebody to get essentially to get on the board of a company like Burisma, as Hunter Biden did, and make $50,000 a month, maybe higher, but that's $600,000 a year. Let's assume that's an accurate figure. Apparently, most people who get on corporate boards will make $100,000-$200,000. So it seems like he's making something like 3 to 6 times average. Huh. And normally, if you get on a corporate board, it's because you have some expertise in the product or service that's being sold. You have some business acumen. Maybe you're a really good attorney. You're from that region. You know something about that area. Hunter Biden didn't know anything about natural gas, energy. He's not from the Ukraine, doesn't know the Ukraine, doesn't speak the language. He's not a Russian or Eastern European studies expert. And then he gets flies on Air Force Two to China with his dad, who was then vice president. And about 10 days later, his private equity company scores a $1.5 billion investment with a subsidiary of, I believe, the Bank of China. Now, there are people from Ernst & Young and from Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank, et cetera, would be thrilled to get a $1.5 billion contract with a bank like that. This guy goes brand new into private equity and scores $1.5 billion. This is extraordinary. I think that's unprecedented, and this thing stinks to high heaven. Why the news media are not digging into this is obvious. It's because they want to see Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Kamala Harris or one of these other people in the White House at the expense of Donald J. Trump. That means they're going to cover their eyes and just sort of hum loudly. That's what they're going to do, and that's shameful and reprehensible and a complete abrogation of what the Founding Fathers intended when they wrote the First Amendment.
We're speaking with DeRoy Murdoch. He's a founding member of Project 21, which you can learn more about at nationalcenter.org/project-21. Last question before we let you go, DeRoy. It makes me feel like the president has kicked the hornet's nest. It sounds like the investigation into Burisma was taking place very early in 2019 before these phone calls were taking place. And we know that there are other investigations going on. William Barr investigating Durham? Is that his name? The investigator?
Durham, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people looking in corners and dusty, swampy corners in Washington, D.C. right now. And I feel as though the Bidens are definitely at the epicenter of this, being very well-placed in the last decade, politically speaking. Do you think that a lot of this impeachment reaction might have something to do with what could potentially be uncovered by some of these other investigations as an opportunity to try to steer the news cycle in a politically beneficial way for Democrats? Or do you think that these are separate issues?
Well, I think the Democrats are very, if nothing else, they're crafty. And I think one thing they're very good at doing is creating distractions. And as soon as the Russiagate thing, when Mueller gave his testimony, I thought, well, that's the end of Russiagate. I mean, he was completely disoriented. And I thought, all right, maybe we'll go back to governing and policy and so on. And then, boom, this thing pops up. I think part of it is to trip up the president. Part of it is to distract from anything that Barr and Durham, who's the guy who's the prosecutor, I think, in Connecticut, who's taking a look at the, from the Department of Justice, who's taking a look at the origins of the whole Russiagate scandal, to distract from that. And if once that news comes out, they can say, oh, well, everybody does it. You know, there's corruption on both sides, blah, 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 whatever they want to say. I think the Democrats have no agenda other than to continue to be the single worst sore losers in the history of human competition. They're still upset that Trump won. They cannot accept the results of the 2016 election almost 3 years after it occurred. And they're going to continue to hound the President of the United States until either November of 2020 or November of 2024, assuming he's reelected.
Well,
that's
a
really sad thing.
Yeah, we're going to be paying a lot of close attention to it. And I know people are more engaged now than they've ever been, at least in whichever corner they reside in, politically speaking. And, Droy, it's always great to have your opinion here on this show. So thank you for the time today.
Annie Ryan, great to be with you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you again soon. Nationalcenter.org/project-21. You should go check out Project 21. It's a pretty cool thing. Didn't you say, is that an organization that our dear friend
Chris Arps
is involved
he's
in
a part
well?
Of that.
Mm-hmm. I think we might hear from Chris Arps this week a little
bit.
You never know.
You never know. So Droy Murdoch, Fox News contributor there. Before we take a break, I want to see you guys have any more names you want to put on the board?
I do.
Okay.
You go first, Ryan.
Well, hold on a second. Let me reset what we're doing here. So if you are watching right now, 971talk.com/Annie, we're kind of doing a little, is this science?
This is Annie Fry Show
is
science.
Is this geography? What is this?
That's
what this
is. Annie Fry Show science being like alternative facts.
Yes.
Man, you say something like that, my husband would have a coronary. As a social studies teacher, a history degree thing, people like our kids ask us questions. He teaches geography. He's taught science. He's taught math. Our kids ask like school related questions. And I'm just like, you know, I don't want to. Jared, what do you think about this? Let's just see what you have to say about this before I weigh in. Because
like,
I don't know. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? I am not smarter than a third grader. It is pretty clear to me that I'm not school material anymore. And I got really good grades, but I've just moved on. And I was also thinking about how I remember taking physics in high school. And I remember the teacher saying, you get an A if you're good at it. You get a B if you try. And I really appreciated that. And I owned that B. Mm-hmm. I tried, and that's as far as it got. So what we're doing right now is we have a Venn diagram of sorts up on our whiteboard here in the studio, which if you go to 971talk.com/Andy, you can see the Vanna White that we have right now, which is one Ryan Wiggins, who's writing this up on the board. We've got three circles. The first circle is GOP and conservatives. Now, the important thing about that specific part is that I don't think that the Republican Party today is the way it used to feel, where we all used to look at each other and be like, you're not Republican enough because of this, this, and this. Like, we were like cannibalistic about being Republican. You didn't hate anybody more than somebody who wasn't the right kind of Republican. The rhino would fit in the category here with what connects with another circle that we have, which is the swamp. So we've got the swamp is the black circle. We've got the GOP-conservatives, which is the red circle. And there are some people who I feel kind of live in that swamp crossover into the Republican Party. And they're people who I feel like Trump has kind of pulled out of the swamp. They still got a little bit of that swampiness in them, but they've kind of made some progress. And then we've got the blue circle. It's the progressive Democrats. And people like the individuals who are in the squad, maybe, or Bernie Sanders. These are people who are hardcore, strictly policy-driven politicians. It's not so much like how much power and authority can I exert when I'm in Washington, D.C. So that overlaps with the swamp a little bit. We put Chuck Schumer in the overlap there. And then you have the people who are just in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton is all swamp. We have Trump. All in the Republican conservative side. So we're going to take some phone calls when we come back. 314-241-9797. And you can tell us what you think. Katie, who do you have? Did you want?
I have my favorite representative, Dan Crenshaw. And I think he is on the Trump side. No swamp.
Yeah.
All GOP.
100%. Now, he is the guy with the patch.
Yes. He's from Texas.
Yes. I didn't know he was your favorite.
He is my favorite representative.
What do you like about him?
I just love his attitude.
The patch.
The patch. I love his attitude. He's very, very funny. I think he is willing to speak to both sides and have compromises. And then he's very, very loyal and passionate about the things that he strongly believes.
All right, Ryan, you got another one?
How about this one? Rand Paul.
Rand Paul.
Where would you put him?
That's kind of a tough one.
That's why I picked it.
I think I would have to put him in the GOP conservatives thing because he's the most anti-swamp person I think that is in there. And as kind of an OG anti-swamper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's good at running a media narrative, which makes me go, maybe he might be swampy. But yeah. No, he really does things differently. And just his association with the name Paul, like Ron Paul.
Yeah.
That would have to put him
in the red circle.
In the red circle.
All right, we're going to put Rand Paul up there. I am going to officially add Joe Biden to the swamp only circle. And when we come back, we're going to discuss where Elizabeth Warren is. Is Elizabeth Warren is she holding dear to her political party, or is she the kind of person who laps a little bit over into the swamp? Or maybe you think she's all swamp. So we'll talk about Elizabeth Warren when we come back, and I'll take your phone calls if you want to participate in this at 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. I'm interested in this conversation because I think when we start looking at all these names and how they pile up, I think you might understand your political leanings a little bit more and how they affect your 2020 loyalties. So we'll have that conversation in just a minute. And don't forget, John Shimkus is going to join us at 1:40 to talk to us about his experience in the Ukraine and what the Ukraine relationship with this country is currently. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. This is a really fun song to watch people karaoke.
I have never seen someone karaoke this song.
I have.
I'd like to see somebody karaoke this song, but not have any of the words in front of them.
You don't know as many of the words of the song as you probably think
exactly.
You do.
Exactly.
You know that they say New Orleans, yeah. And there's a house there.
Mm-hmm. And it's rising.
And it's rising, and then there's a sun. And then you
and
go
then after that, it would just be, hello!
Exactly. And as long as you're singing the right notes, I don't even care. But it's having a good night with friends. If you're somebody who likes to enjoy a beverage, it's you get in their sweet spot and you go sing House of the Rising Sun.
Or tequila.
We're going to get Ryan into the sweet spot. I love it.
I'm already there.
Fantastic. You're like, I wake up in the sweet spot.
I just wake up singing karaoke.
All right. We've got a Venn diagram exercise here. I don't think I've done a Venn diagram in, let's see, I'm 35 years old and it's 22 years is probably the last time I did a Venn diagram experience. But I was thinking about this earlier this morning, and I think that it's interesting to think about how many different groups of people are clamoring for change or power in Washington, D.C. right now. We've got three circles. We've got the GOP and the conservatives. And I'll reiterate, I think that this president that we have in here right now has turned the Republican Party on its head. We are not predetermined what the Republican of today has to be. I think we're much more expanded. We saw the Black Leadership Summit, and I'm going to play for you, I think at like 2:25, Kanye West. And it's going to floor you. If you haven't heard this sound yet, you are going to be amazed by what Kanye West is saying to thousands
huge
of
crowd.
People.
Huge crowd.
Thousands of people who are fully engaged in what he's saying. So I'm going to have that for you at 2:25. But you have the Black Leadership Summit at the White House this past weekend. You've got a lot of Black conservatives that are out there who have appreciated this idea of not being victimized I guess, being made to be victims, I suppose, by the Democratic Party. You've got the walk away movement who is asking everybody who basically isn't an old white dude to consider what the Democratic Party has done for them lately. So there's a huge shakeup. I think the walk away movement, I think that the Blexit movement, and I think that the Trump movement are squarely in that GOP conservative circle. I think people like Bernie Sanders, Ryan put up Dennis Kucinich up there. I'm going to add up somebody right now because I think this needs to be on the board. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the squad. These are people who are progressive Democrats, like extremely progressive Democrats that are not interested in the swamp. I just read an entire article that was about a string of tweets that AOC put out there because she wants to abolish prisons. She wants to get rid of prisons.
Oh,
you laugh because it's ridiculous. It's silliness. She thinks that that you shouldn't put humans in a cage. So we've now gone from the immigration problem of detaining people on the southern border to where she thinks that any cell is a bad cell. Oh my goodness. I can't even. So, and in the swamp right now, we have Hillary Clinton, John Kasich, Joe Biden. May I add Mitt Romney to that circle? Anybody want to argue with Mitt Romney here?
No. Mitt Romney.
314-241-9797. If there's somebody you want to put on the board, I want to talk to Frank here real quick. Frank, thanks for calling the show.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
Sure.
Hey, I listen to your show all the time. I'm blind. A woman in my church likes to sing that song, Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Except she likes to just put in the words, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
That. As long as she can hit the notes.
Makes
the
karaoke easier, too.
Yeah, amen. Well, thanks
right
for listening
on.
To us.
Anyway, Bernie Sanders is a hack. He doesn't deserve to have anything. I don't know why anybody listens to this liar.
Well, I don't think he's going to be around. I don't think he's going to be in the presidential race a whole lot longer. It's interesting to think. It kind of like reoccurred to me when he had said that he was going to be on the debate stage and everything, it occurred to me that he's still a United States senator.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's not somebody who's running for president. Right now, it's more important that he is one of 100 people in the United States Senate, and he's got to be able to do that job, too.
So during this conversation, we're not necessarily debating his policies, which we all think are crazy. We're just talking about whether he's in the swamp or if he's not.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks for listening, Frank. We appreciate you out there. You guys got anyone you want to add? Who do you? Katie's got this big smile on her face.
I have my other favorite person, John Kennedy.
Okay.
I love him. I think that he is in the mix of the swamp and the GOP.
Really?
I do.
Why?
I think...
And my opinion is, it's weird.
I think that he has some old tendencies, and he reminds me a lot of Lindsey Graham.
Ageist.
Yes, I am. But
so he's been there too long for you.
He's been there a while.
Let me ask that question though. Can you think of somebody who's been there forever that you would not have a little bit of swamp?
I cannot. That is my characteristic of swamp.
Rand Paul's been there for quite a while. Yeah, he's not old though.
Whenever I think of the swamp, I think of someone really, really swampy that can. To save their own butt and to keep them in politics as long as possible, they will go from GOP to progressive, whichever way the wind blows.
That's fair.
I think so. Kennedy can go in the Republican with a little bit of swamp. Mm-hmm. Are you going to write him over the... No, he's got to go... He's got to be in the swamp circle.
There we go.
You have Venn diagrams work?
There.
Oh, no.
There we go.
That gives my OCD some allergic reaction here.
How about John McCain?
Swamp, I'd say. What do you think?
Full swamp?
Yeah. This doesn't mean...
Yeah.
We can't... Here's the problem with John McCain from a topic standpoint.
Yeah, I know.
What Trump has done to John McCain, I think, is shameful. Mm-hmm. When he was talking about, like, I like people who don't get captured, oh my gosh, like, that makes me recoil. Because now, a lot of people feel like you need to defend... against, you like Donald Trump, but you got to defend the idea that he would say something like that about somebody who is a war hero. I don't have to defend Donald Trump when he says stupid things. I've got no problem saying Donald Trump is saying something stupid, and that was certainly it. But John McCain, I don't feel as a senator, not as a veteran, as a senator, especially towards the end, I think he's the definition of swamp.
Man, he really liked keeping things status quo.
Yeah.
Which pretty much is the definition of the swamp.
Yeah. He didn't vote to, he was the deciding vote on the Affordable Care Act. That was one of the last things he did in the Senate. I think he's square in that. Dick Durbin. This caller suggested Dick Durbin. Where do you put him?
I don't know about his dealings. I know he's left, but I don't know how deep in he is.
I would say,
he's been there for a long
time. To my knowledge, I would not put him all the way in the swamp. I think that he is probably, I think
1 foot in, 1 foot out.
He's obviously very Democrat. He doesn't have any. There's never been anything that Dick Durbin has done in the Senate that makes me like, oh, well, yeah, I think that was a good opportunity to take leadership on something. But I don't have the evidence that suggests in a Joe Biden way that you have utilized your position in D.C. to solely benefit yourself. So I would say Dick Durbin feels to me like the leftist version of a Lindsey Graham.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by somebody who's in Washington, D.C., Representative John Shimkus. I came across this article yesterday, which we will share on our blog, 971talk.com/Annie, when we put up the interview with him. And he's talking about Ukraine and the importance of our relationship, our country's relationship with Ukraine. And it's a very, I did not know all of this about Ukraine. And when I was reading through it, I was very grateful that I did. And I learned a bit. And I'm interested to see what he has to say. As somebody who has known these people personally, who has been there, how this conversation surrounding conversations between Trump and President Zelensky could potentially affect our country and our relationship with Ukraine. So Congressman Shimkus with us when we return. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Protecting the whistleblower is absolutely essential so that there's no retribution or anything for speaking truth.
That's Nancy Pelosi. She is the Speaker of the House right now, and they are fully engaged, the House Democrats, fully engaged in this impeachment inquiry towards President Trump. Now, at the center of the controversy is a phone call that took place between President Trump and the president of Ukraine. And as I was reading last night, doing some research, I came across an article that was shared by Congressman Shimkus, written by Congressman Shimkus. And I wanted to have him on here to discuss it because the relationship between the United States and Ukraine is one that I did not know this much about. And I think it's a very important part of the story. So we welcome Congressman John Shimkus of the 15th District in Illinois onto the show. Congressman, thanks so much for the time today.
It's great to be with you, Annie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So you put together this article here, and it kind of explains your personal experience with the Ukrainian people, the government, where it's come from and where it's arrived at today. What do you wish that the American people knew about the country of Ukraine in the context of what everybody's hearing right now on whatever the current headline is on cable news?
Well, the article was meant to make sure that we kind of separate the political incendiary war that's going on in the United States with really the great transformation we see in Ukraine. Ukraine's been slow to develop and look west, and part of that is because the Russian and the Kremlin and Putin have been meddling in their internal affairs like they did in the United States in 2016, but they've been doing it for 30 years. They have what's called these oligarchs who are wealthy Russians who also have been buying, extorting, and corrupting that country. They had an amazing election in April this year where they elected a comedian, an actor with no political experience, President Zelensky, and he and everyone wanted to watch which way he looked. Would he go to Russia first, or would he look to the West? His first trip was Brussels. He's been to Paris. He's been to Berlin. He's fulfilling the desire of the Ukrainian people to look west, and because of that, the Russians still are going to be a problem for him, mm-hmm. and it's just disappointing that our political warfare may cause and slow up a great opportunity for Ukraine, which is really the largest geographical country in Europe, along with 40 million people. All they want is democracy, freedom, the rule of law.
Well, I want to ask you about this specific line here in this article that we'll share with our listeners at 971talk.com/Annie. You said, "I also urge restraint to those who would drag Ukraine and President Zelensky into the scorched earth politics of personal destruction practiced here at home these days." You're weighing in there on your observations, and you're very up close with the, you know, politics, I guess, of Washington, D.C. You call them scorched earth. Is this something in your tenure in the House of Representatives? Is this something that's hitting its peak now? Is this the way it's always been and we've chosen to cover it differently? Or have we arrived at a new place in the way we do politics in this country?
I think it's just 24/7 cable, social media, and the anonymity of people who can say and do whatever they want. Without confronting the individual. I think most of my colleagues on either side of the aisle would say it is really to the point of damaging and embarrassing for our country.
Yeah, I think that that's the way my reaction to all of this. It doesn't feel as though the effort that is being put forth right now to inquire about the impeachment of President Trump really looks like it's being done in the best interest of the American people. When you're talking to your constituents in the Illinois 15th, do you think that those Democrats who you also represent in the House, do you think that they want to see this impeachment inquiry go forward?
Well, my district is pretty conservative, and my guess is the president would get reelected with 70% of the vote even today. So the Democrats remaining are very vocal and opposed to the president. So they, I think my Republicans would like the president to not get involved personally in the politics of personal destruction, but he just can't help himself. That's kind of who he is. And that's unfortunate because I do believe that feeds the fire.
Are there a lot of is there a lot of concern among your Republican colleagues right now in the House regarding the way the committee has tried to keep Republicans out of being able to ask questions in some of these interviews that are being conducted? Just as a whole, Republicans are in the minority in the House of Representatives. Doesn't seem like they're having at least even their minorities say. If the Republican people, or if the Republicans, or all of the American people, I should say, are watching this, it seems pretty politically one-sided from the outside looking in. Do you think that that's going to change over the course of time?
Well, I think that the committees that are not like the House Select Committee of Intelligence and the ones in which we have open hearings, I think the rules are such that everybody does get equal time. Now, if they're talking about internal interviews with counsel and depositions. I mean, that's in an arena that I'm not as comfortable with. You know, I've been through an impeachment before. It's another one of these things that it's just going to bring everybody down. We are close to a reelection, and we could just easily let the public make a decision on this. But it's I'm afraid we're going to go down that same route. And then the debate is high crimes and misdemeanors. What is a high crime? What's a misdemeanor? And is there can you prove that the president did something illegal or wrong? And there'll be hearings, there'll be votes, and we'll move on.
We're speaking with Congressman Shimkus. He represents the 15th Congressional District in Illinois, and he's on Twitter at Rep Shimkus, I should say.
When you're more Twitter. No more Twitter.
Are you getting ready?
I got off 2 years ago.
Oh, it's off.
2 years ago.
I gotta say, yeah. I've interviewed you. I've interviewed Rodney Davis, Senator Blunt, and every once in a while they'll tweet out and they'll say, "Going to be on the @AnnieFry Show," And I'm like, is this what you people deal with every day? Like, all of a sudden, my timeline has never been so hopping as when somebody who's representing a political party in Washington, D.C. Taxed me in there. Well, let me ask you about that. You got off of Twitter. What motivated you to make that officially, like, I can't do this anymore. I'm gonna talk to the people in a different way?
I just saw no social redeeming value to it. I get people hide behind their handles. They're unwilling to look you in the eye, and it's disgusting, disgraceful, embarrassing, and I just don't need to do it.
Yeah, I think it's a wise decision. You do have Facebook, and people can comment there. That's at least got a name attached to it for the most part. You've announced your retirement after you've got a lot to do before you get to retire out of this current session of congressional time here, and it's going to be filled with a potential impeachment vote. You're going to be going into the reelection of President Trump or the election of a Democrat that's going to unseat him. Do you feel as though there is going to be a signed USMCA? Do you feel as though there is going to be action taken that's going to benefit the American people? Or are we clearly on all politics until November 2020?
Yeah, we're praying that USMCA can get done. It is a better agreement than we currently have. I think the delay was political, in essence. Speaker Pelosi didn't want to give the president a win. Now you're at this, the scorched earth policy of impeachment and legal debates and denying people or blocking people from testifying. And I don't know. I think there's some pretty hard feelings. I don't see how we get anything done.
Do you care to comment on the news today of Turkey saying that, you know, they've organizing to move into northern Syria, and the president's comments earlier this week about his willingness to remove some troops there? Do you react with a visceral feeling when you heard what President Trump said he was going to do?
I did. I just there'll be blood, and I think it'll be on his hands. The Kurds have been loyal allies. We actually protected them going back to the first Gulf War. There was a no-fly zone over that area. And they of all that region, have been steadfast allies, supporters of the United States. And I'm highly disappointed and discouraged about the president's actions.
All right. Well, Congressman Shimkus, it's a pleasure to have you on here. I'm going to encourage people to go to our website to read the story, the article that you have here talking about Ukraine and how Ukraine has come to be the country and have the government that it has today. It's a fantastic story, and I think it's great context when we're hearing names like President Zelensky and the country of Ukraine being discussed. So I appreciate the information you provided me, and I'm grateful that you gave us an opportunity to provide it to the listeners of the show.
Well, thank you, Annie, and I appreciate you giving them a chance to look at it.
Awesome. Well, Congressman Shimkus, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Yep. The 15th Congressional District of Illinois, interesting comment there saying that the president has made a decision that said that there will be blood, and there will be blood on the president's hands.
It's also interesting that how long has he been in Congress? Long
1996
time.
1996 or 1998.
Yeah, and
he was like a freshman congressman when Clinton was being impeached.
And he's saying he's never pretty much seen it worse, and that he doesn't expect anything to get done in the next year or so.
I appreciate him.
It's honest.
Getting off of Twitter.
Yes.
Because I mean, I use Twitter. You can follow me at Annie Fry Show. But I do see, like, if Senator Blunt comes in here, I appreciate Senator Blunt. He's a United States Senator. I appreciate him coming in here and giving us the time to ask him questions that I think that you, the listener, wants to hear. And I know that there are people listening to this show right now who love Senator Blunt, and I know there are people who would like to see him primaried. I get it. That's the way it goes. That's the way elections go. Congressman Davis, when he comes in here, I love being able to talk to him. He's my congressman. But if they tweet me, if they tweet something like, oh, going to be on the Annie Fry Show, man, people are terrible. And I'm always like, I end up just tweeting back GIFs of like me just like being Homer Simpson, just fading into the hedge. I don't know if I can handle it. I can handle it. It's just really shocking. Let's talk to Austin Berg of the Illinois Policy Institute when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.